We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
For pop culture, it's Halloween. For much of the church, it's Reformation Day. But even more ancient than both of those is the celebration that comes tomorrow on November 1st, the remembrance of All Saints, an ancient remembrance in the church. But what is it about? There's a lot of confusion about what it means to be a saint. There's a lot of confusion about what it means to remember the saints. Hopefully, in our study of a great All Saints Day hymn, like Behold a Host Arrayed in White, we will understand what the Bible means when it talks about these people who shine with the righteousness of Christ, both now and in the world to come. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Joining us to study the hymn on this Wednesday, October the 31st, in anticipation of the celebration of All Saints, the hymn Behold a Host Arrayed in White, Dr. Arthur Just, Professor of New Testament and Chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He has authored the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Wonderful to be with you today, Todd, especially in the celebration of one of the great feasts in the Christian church.
What is the church celebrating on All Saints Day?
Well, it is a remarkable moment for the church for a number of reasons. We are kind of turning a corner when we get to November, and early on, the church in the month of November, as the days grew darker and it became cold and rainy and the leaves were off the tree, I mean, it looked like we were living in a kind of a world in which death was at home. You know, the darkness, the dreariness, the lack of color, you know, it looked like judgment time. And the church focused on judgment there. And the month of November was, you know, the end time text, the coming of the Lord again. All Saints, in a sense, begins that kind of commemoration by looking at what the end really is for those who are baptized in Christ. And that end is the heavenly end, the end where we will behold Christ in a world in which there is no sin or darkness or death. And what the church really kind of decided to do as it entered into these dark days is to kind of acknowledge the reality of what happens at every, in a sense, every worship service, every time we gather together around the Word of Christ and the Supper of Christ, that Christ is there, as well as all the saints. So it is, in a sense, historical is probably not the right word, but it is an opportunity for the church to reflect on one Sunday of the year, a reality that is with them every Sunday.
This hymn has some very deep roots. In a lot of ways, it is kind of a paraphrase of a famous passage from the book of Revelation. But what are the biblical roots of this hymn, Behold the Host Arrayed in White?
Well, the primary one is from Revelation chapter 7, and it's the one that we know so well. We hear it actually probably more than many texts in the Scriptures, of the great multitude from every nation that are standing before the throne of the Lamb in white robes with palm branches in their hand, and they're singing the songs of heaven. We have these great hymns, you know, the blessing and honor and wisdom and thanksgiving, you know, that hymn to the Lamb on his throne. And it is the ones who are coming out of the Great Tribulation, who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The great thing of this hymn is that it's not just about the glory of heaven, but it's about the tribulation out of which the saints come, the suffering, you know, that happened to them in this world precisely because they are saints.
So what does it say, then, with a minute here before we begin our first stanza, what does it say about us today as saints? If also, 'cause sometimes the focus is upon the saints who have gone before us. Does it also include us?
Well, that's why I began by saying that what this day does is recognize the reality of every Sunday worship, that as we line up, for example, to receive the body and blood of Christ, we are like those saints in Revelation. We are one who are part of that host. We are arrayed in the white robes of our baptism. We are coming forward to receive the gifts of the Lamb. The difference, of course, is that it's a not yet experience for us. We do not yet have the fullness of it. The Lord has not come again in glory to take us to be with him in heaven forever. And so we are in a world in which sin is still at home and death is at home. And so we have that sort of melancholy, bittersweet character to our worship. And yet, at the same time, we confess that we are the saints because we are the baptized, because we believe in the Lamb who was slain and raised again, that we are already now in our worship services singing the hymns of heaven. We are joining the voices of the saints. So it is not just the saints in heaven, but the saints who now on earth do dwell.
The first stanza of Behold a Host Arrayed in White. Behold a host arrayed in white like thousand snow-clad mountains bright. With palms they stand. Who is this band before the throne of light? These are the saints of glorious fame who from the great affliction came, and in the flood of Jesus' blood are cleansed from guilt and shame. They now serve God both day and night. They sing their songs in endless light. Their anthems ring as they all sing with angels shining bright. First stanza of the hymn, Behold a Host Arrayed in White, the soloist Mark Loder. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Dr. Just, what's in this first stanza that you would have us take note of?
Well, we were talking about Revelation before, and this is in many ways just a wonderful paraphrase of that Revelation text. But there are really three things that is happening in this text. One is, who are these saints? That's the first question. And these are the saints who are in their white robes with palms in their hands, and they are before the throne. Where do they come from? And that's a very important question. I think that's the question that Revelation also asks. And they come out of affliction, the great affliction. And they come as those whose, you know, sins of guilt and shame have been washed in Jesus' blood. Now, here I do think we have maybe another biblical reference. That's Hebrews 9, verse 14, that talks about the cleansing of Jesus' blood. And then the final thing is what are they doing? And they are serving God. They are singing, you know. They are singing anthems that are ringing out with the angels in heaven. So who are they? Where do they come? What has happened to them? And now what are they doing? You really have kind of an entire salvation history from the perspective of the priesthood of all believers, you know, the baptized, who, you know, you see their destiny, you see where they came from and how they got to be where they are now and what they're doing as they are, you know, beholding the Lamb in his kingdom that has no end. So it's sort of a picture of the entire life of the believer. And it's an absolutely beautifully poetic rendering of our life in Christ from beginning to end.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. We're studying the hymn on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 31st, in anticipation of the Church's celebration of All Saints Day on the 1st of November. He's professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ and the Divine Service. You can find out about both of these great resources at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or you can call Concordia Publishing House and ask them about the Concordia Commentary on Luke, two volumes, or the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ and the Divine Service. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We'll be right back. Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues, etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning till noon on Saturday, November 3rd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2012 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 3rd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano's Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
The Faith, Once for All, Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. Journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the hymn, Behold a Host Arrayed in White. It's a famous All Saints Day hymn. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Still talking about this first stanza here, Dr. Just. A couple questions. One has to do with that reference that you mentioned before the break, that in the flood of Jesus' blood are cleansed from guilt and shame, with reference to these saints that we behold in this hymn. Is this a reference to baptism?
I think it is. I think it's a reference, as you always find, if it is the Hebrews reference, to how the atonement, the shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross, becomes our own sort of personal atonement in a sense when we are baptized. Now, the one who sort of introduced this idea is Paul in Galatians 4, where he talks about, you know, God sent his son into the world born of a woman, born under the law, in order to rescue us. And that word rescue is a clear reference to his atoning blood. And then right away after that, he said, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, which is where that rescue becomes ours in baptism. And, you know, we can now say, Abba, Father, because we know who our true father is. Yeah, it is very much a reference to baptism, but how the cross is an ongoing reality, because it's an ongoing reality first in our baptism and then at the table. Now, one of the things that's just so kind of striking about this hymn, and you find it in the Old Testament too, is the contrast between white and blood. Behold a host arrayed in white. That's the thing you think about when you think about this hymn. And yet when you think about blood, you know, you're thinking about that deep red color that you can't get out no matter what you try to do, because it just is sort of indelible. And to be cleansed in blood and to come out of that with white robes is just a kind of a, you know, it's a jarring image. But that's why it's baptismal, because when we come through the cleansing blood of Jesus, we are whole, we are clean, we sparkle like the whiteness of a robe that has been bleached to the whitest of whites. And it certainly reminds us of the fact that what happens to us in baptism is that, in a sense, we have a foretaste of our final destiny, that in our white robes, of our baptismal white robes, we are clothed with the robe of the transfiguration, you know, of Jesus on the Mount, which of course is simply a foreshadowing of his resurrection, when he comes out of the tomb in that sparkling, dazzling, extra dazzling, you know, robe that shows us that in fact he has conquered death by his death. And so it is a rich, rich image that we have here, that, as I said, it, in a sense, it embraces all of salvation history within the lives of the saints themselves.
So we could add to the hopper of biblical references here, Romans 13 and especially Galatians 3:27, with where it talks about putting on Christ. This is very deftly in the original passage of Revelation 7, two images there of baptism, both to be clothed with Christ and to be washed in his blood.
Absolutely. I think those are truly part of the textuality between Revelation and the rest of the New Testament and the Old Testament too. You know, your clothes will be whiter than snow. You know, I mean, and I think that is what we picture happening when we are completely, totally cleansed in Jesus' blood.
Now, there's one other thing I wanted to ask about that first stanza, and it's right up your alley, I think, because it says they serve God day and night. But if you look at Revelation or this hymn, they're actually worshiping. They're not, bringing sacrifices or something. They're actually just engaged in heavenly worship. Our tendency, Dr. Just, is to think of our worship here and their worship there as somehow separated from one another. But you say they're the same worship. Talk about that.
Well, that's why that book I wrote on worship is called Heaven on Earth, because what happens when we gather together around God's word and God's meal, we are joined to the heavenly worship. And, you know, one of the ways of picturing it is that, you know, what happens when we come together is that God is the giver, and he's the one who serves us with his gifts. And those gifts are the giving of his son, that we actually encounter and have communion with Christ you know, the real presence, the bodily presence, the fleshly Christ. And as Luther said, those gifts we receive are forgiveness, life, and salvation. I mean, that's the central thing of what happens. But because we receive those gifts, we respond back to God. We serve God. But we serve God in Christ. So Christ is, in a sense, the one who goes before us in our praise and thanksgiving to God, because he has gifted us in Christ. And Christ shows us the way. I mean, in a way, Christ is the greatest worshiper of all, in the sense that he is the one who acknowledges before the throne that the plan of salvation of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has been accomplished in his own death, resurrection, and ascension. So it's a magnificent picture of just not only what's happening in heaven, but what happens every time we gather together around Word and Sacrament.
We're going to hear the second stanza of Behold the Host Arrayed in White, but what should we be listening for here with about a minute before we hear it, Dr. Just?
Well, I think here the author sort of takes off on what that affliction is about, and he shows us, you know, both what they are now, but what they came through. And so we'll hear about their sojourn and its bitter tears and the bitter years, and how he has wiped away those tears from their eyes, and the fact that he's led them now into a Sabbath rest and a banquet. You know, it's that destiny that those who have suffered for the sake of Christ have, not only in their baptism, but they participate in the supper, and that they receive fully when Christ comes again in glory.
The second stanza, despised and scorned, they sojourned here, but now how glorious they appear. Those martyrs stand, a priestly band, God's throne forever near. On earth they wept through bitter years, now God has wiped away their tears, transformed their strife to heavenly life, and freed them from their fears. They now enjoy the Sabbath rest, the heavenly banquet of the blessed. The Lamb, their Lord, at festive board, himself is host and guest.
Despised and scorned, they sojourned here, but now how glorious they appear. Those martyrs stand, a priestly band, God's throne forever near. On earth they wept through bitter years, now God has wiped away their tears, transformed their strife to heavenly life, and freed them from their fears. They now enjoy the Sabbath rest, the heavenly banquet of the blessed. The Lamb, their Lord, at festive board, himself is host and guest.
Stanza two of the hymn, Behold the Host Arrayed in White. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest as we study this hymn on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 31st. In that stanza, it talks about that affliction. You gave us a preview of it. Does that include us? I don't consider myself a martyr, and I look at my life and I don't see great affliction as a Christian, or tribulation, to put it in the words of Revelation 7.
Well, I think there are times when you're not, but I think just being a Christian in the world today calls you to a life in which you will experience at some point, you know, the terrible sort of tension that one has for confessing Christ in a world that is essentially hostile to him. I mean, when we think of martyrs, we think of the early church, but I mean, what I think most people may not realize is that more Christians died for the faith in the 20th century than all previous 19 centuries combined before, you know. That's an amazing statistic if you think about it. You know, because they were Christians, they died more in the 20th century than 1900 years before then. You know, I think just in our own, you know, political environment, if you believe in the unborn as being, you know, a life and that they should be preserved, it you will receive persecution. You will, there is affliction for that. I mean, you could list many things, but for standing for Christ in this world today is not easy. And you can see it everywhere. I mean, what I don't think people realize is how much persecution of Christians is going on in the world today. And even in our country, even in our churches.
Let's talk more about that on the other side of the break. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. We're studying the hymn, Behold a Host Arrayed in White.
Coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the hymn, Behold a Host Arrayed in White, with Dr. Arthur Just. Issues Etc. 24 is coming up. It is, I think, only 48 hours away, if I'm not mistaken. It's our live 24-hour broadcast that we do. We really do it live for 24 hours with 12 guests in two-hour blocks. This year, we're going to be studying the primary teachings of Holy Scripture, from the doctrine of God all the way to the coming of Christ and judgment. What we need from you, our listeners, before we begin Issues Etc. 24, and it's crucial that we get your answer to this question before we begin Issues Etc. 24. The question is, Issues Etc., what does this mean? It's that simple. Issues Etc., what does this mean? Your answer to that question, and we need it because we're going to be playing your answers to that question during our live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. 24. You can leave your answer to that question any time of day or night in the next 48 hours before we begin Issues Etc. 24 at our comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Remember, Issues Etc. 24 starts at 3 Central in the afternoon this Friday afternoon. You said something before the break, Dr. Just, that was intriguing. You said, we fail to realize how much persecution there is for Christians, even, I would say, perhaps especially from within the visible church. Talk about that.
Well, you know, just think about Jesus. I mean, who was it who really killed him? I mean, who wanted him dead? The Romans did it, but it was within the religious establishment of Israel that, you know, that he was killed. It was people who had a different theology, so to speak, than Jesus, that thought that salvation came through works of the law, or who had a sort of a way of salvation that required that they contribute to their own salvation. And it was, you know, a group that was sort of, you know, very content in their own riches and in the things of this world as being a demonstration of God's grace and God's favor. I mean, if that doesn't ring true today, I don't know what else does. I mean, what we Lutherans call the theology of the cross means that we confess that God is present in the poverty of things, in the humble things, in the simple things like bread and wine and water and the suffering of the poor and the weak of this world. And that boy, you'll get persecuted in the church for holding to that, or for living that, or for, in a sense, embodying that. And yet that is the way of the gospel. That's the way of the kingdom. It's only through the poor and the suffering that we really see how God is working. And that includes, even in some cases, the poverty of our worship. I mean, sometimes I think we try to approximate a heavenly worship, and yet in the simplicity of simply gathering and praying and singing and hearing God's word and receiving a simple meal of bread and wine in which God offers us his body and blood, I mean, that doesn't seem very fantastic compared to some of the other things that one sees out there. And for believing that, for being faithful to that, you know, understanding of the way of the kingdom, there are many, many people within the church who are persecuted for holding to that theology of the cross.
What is meant in this second stanza in reference to the Sabbath rest that these saints now enjoy?
Well, I think that's also a reference from Hebrews. And in the Greek, it's the Sabbatismo, that eternal Sabbath rest. There is a great sense that what the striving and the toiling of the saints here below, what will happen when that's over is that they enter into this reality of peace and tranquility and rest. Augustine, in his Confessions, ends it by talking about that rest, and you know his famous, you know, statement about how our souls are restless until they find our rest in Christ. And in a sense, that's why we go to church and why we go to worship, because there we rest in Christ. There we are home. You know how it is in this world when you're stressed out and you've had a tough day and things haven't gone well, and then you come home and there's the familiarity and the embrace of your family and you know, the warmth of the fire and just the safety and comfort of being able to just rest after a hard day. That's what eternity has been, in a sense, pictured as. And you should feel that when you're in the worship service, when you sit in the pew there, you've come home. You're there to find rest, to find the tranquility of being in the presence of the one who not only created you, but recreated you through his blood.
With about a minute here, there is a connection that the hymn writer makes between that Sabbath rest and, he says, the heavenly banquet blessed. Is this a reference to the Lord's Supper?
Well, I think it is. I mean, what we always have to remember about the Lord's Supper is that it's not only a foretaste of the heavenly banquet, it's already now a participation in it. So when we go to the table of the Lord, we are in the table of heaven. Now, as I said earlier, we're still under the veil of sin. So there is still the brokenness that we experience because we live in a world that is shattered by the tragedy, the virus of sin that has infected us all. But when we come to the table, there is heaven on earth. You know, and I think the point is that it's heaven on earth. We still live in the earth, but heaven is there too. And so this heavenly banquet, you know, and it's such beautiful language, the Lamb their Lord at festive board, himself, his host and guest. That is the Lord's Supper. When we go to the Lord's Supper, our Lamb, our Lord, is there at festive board, and he is there as both our host and our guest. And I think we could add this, and our food. He is our food. There he is, the bread of heaven. There we are fed. There we are nurtured. There we receive the only food that really matters, the food for the journey, what they called the viaticum, the journey to heaven, to the final, final heavenly feast.
The third stanza of Behold a Host Arrayed in White. O blessed saints in bright array, now safely home in endless day, extol the Lord, who with his word sustains you on the way. The steep and narrow path you trod, you toiled and sowed the word abroad. Rejoice and bring your fruits and sing before the throne of God. The myriad angels raise their song. O saints, sing with that happy throng. Lift up one voice, let heaven rejoice in our Redeemer's song. Third and final stanza of Behold a Host Arrayed in White. The soloist is Mark Loader. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Dr. Just, I know you've talked about this before in our conversation today, and I've heard you talk about it before, this concept of being safely home. And that is, at least from a pastoral perspective, what I've discovered is most comforting to people who have lost those who have died in Christ. That idea now that is so very true, that they are now home, they are now safe, they are now with Christ, they now await the resurrection. Talk about that.
Well, you know, and I think the reason that is because oftentimes, you know, people who we minister to, their loved ones have gone through a struggle. They've struggled in sickness or pain. You know, they've had you know, difficult days, weeks, months, years, even. And there is a sense that journey, especially at the end, was particularly rough and rigorous, and that there's sort of a relief that they are at rest. They have come home into the bosom of Abraham, into the arms of Jesus, and it is even though they've lost their loved one, even though their lives now are going to be defined by that loss, there is a sense of peace that comes from knowing that struggle is over. I think we all long for that, and I think that's such a, as I said earlier, such a basic human thing that we can resonate with that even when we have the sadness of grief, that yes, in fact, our loved ones are with Christ, and they are at home if they are with Christ. I mean, this verse, the final verse, he brings it home in a way that is really quite remarkable, and he does pick up on that notion of journey, that along the way we've been sustained by the word, and it's capitalized in my translation here, and I think that word is both the word that is spoken from the scriptures. It's Jesus, the word made flesh, the word that we eat and drink at the supper of the Lord. That is what happens for us, that incredible support and nurture in that steep and narrow path that we take to the heavenly gates. And I think there's no greater image, in a sense, than the journey and the sustenance we have in Christ as we make our journey to heaven.
We'll pick up right there with Dr. Arthur Jess studying the hymn, Behold a Host Arrayed in White. Then we'll hear the entire hymn. Stay tuned.
Issues, etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. We're preparing for a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues, etc. on November 2nd and 3rd, and we want to play your answer. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues, etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8382. Issues, etc. What does this mean?
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues, etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the divine service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday afternoon, October the 31st, we're studying the hymn, Behold a Host Arrayed in White. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Dr. Just, with the few minutes we have before we hear the entire hymn, you talked earlier about this image of the journey, and in this hymn, it is depicted as, while on this journey with Christ, we sow abroad the word that is Christ. Pick up there.
Well, I think that's such an important part of this hymn, and it kind of comes unexpectedly. You don't really expect it to come, because he talks about the steep and narrow path that we trod and the toiling that, you know, that goes on. And then you sowed the word abroad. I mean, what people don't realize is that part of the very witness, you know, of the church, part of the very mission of the church is embodying Christ in their lives of suffering and in their lives of toil and being despised and scorned and actually kind of confessing by their very lives and the words that they speak as they make this journey about the hope that's in them. And, you know, I think the fact that this hymn writer brings up the mission of the church as part of the saint's journey is exactly right. You know, when you make the pilgrimage, you meet people along the way, and it's in that meeting, in that conversation, and in the very way in which you make the journey, the way in which your pilgrimage, you know, is in a sense characterized by the life you live and the manner of your travel, is a witness to the very nature of Christ himself, the very nature of our worship, the very nature of heaven. And, you know, I think one of the things that is so fundamentally important to this, and I think this is one of the greatest witnesses, and you can see it here at the end of the hymn, because he brings us to the joy of heaven, is that as we make the pilgrimage, as we take our journey, we take it in joy. Even in the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of the most severe persecution, there is joy. Paul says it so clearly that he's going to rejoice in his sufferings. I mean, that makes no sense. But that's the Christian hope. That's the Christian vision. That's the Christian life. And I think, you know, what people see as we make this journey is that despite, you know, the hardships, despite the difficulty of confessing Christ in the world, we experience an incredible joy, and it's the joy of heaven, so that in that joy now, we are joining the full, complete joy that we will rejoice in when we get to heaven. So the end of the hymn is filled with joy. Rejoice and bring your fruits. What are those fruits? The fruits are a life well lived in Christ, where you've embodied, lived, and witnessed to that. You know, and sing before the throne of God. You're there with the myriad of angels raising their song. I love that our voices and the angels are joined. And then the saints, you know, sing with that happy throng. Our voices and their voices are joined in the joy of knowing Christ. And then finally, lift up one voice. One voice. There's not myriad voices. It's all one voice, the voice of the church, the voice of Christ in his body, the church, and all of heaven rejoices in the song of the Redeemer. That's heaven. That's also life here below. That's our worship life as we gather together around the Lamb who was slain and raised again.
Before thy throne.
Dr. Jess, your final thoughts on the hymn, Behold the Host Arrayed in White.
Todd, on this All Saints Day, as we think about our identity in Christ and who we are in Christ, I think it's important to sing this hymn knowing that this hymn is about us. Tomorrow, when people hear the gospel lesson for All Saints Day from Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, I think what they need to recognize is that just as an artist describes what a beautiful face looks like and then paints it, Christ, as sort of the artist in this Sermon on the Mount, describes in the Beatitudes what makes for true human beauty. And true human beauty is being blessed as the poor in spirit, the gentle, the sorrowing, the hungering and thirsting for righteousness, but those who are merciful and who have inherited the kingdom that God has prepared for them. And that kingdom is described in this very, very beautiful hymn.
Dr. Arthur Just is professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Thank you very much, Dr. Just.
And the Lord be with you.
Folks, if you appreciate our hymn studies, please consider joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly or annual giving program. Membership benefits include items like books, broadcast transcripts, T-shirts, and advertising for your congregation. And if you join at the Reformer or the Patron level or upgrade your current membership to one of those two levels, before tomorrow, we'll send you the 4-CD set of 39 hymns called Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. To find out more about the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, go to our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. If you want to join, renew, or upgrade your membership, give Craig a call, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, or send Craig an email, craig@issuesetc.org, craig@issuesetc.org, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll conclude our series on Lutheranism around the world, talking to Dr. Karl Rockrohr about Lutheranism in South Africa. Also tomorrow, we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Happy Reformation Day, happy All Saints Day, and thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.